Well, again, good morning, Echo Church. So glad to be here today. It's going to be a special morning. Before we hop in the message, let me give you a handful of quick notes. The first is simply this. If you are planning to head into one of those dinner parties, and I would highly, highly encourage you to do so, it's a really easy way to connect with some Echo folks here over the summer. Maybe you've been here for a while, but you haven't connected. Maybe you're brand new and you'd like to meet some people. You are invited, okay? So simply text the word dinner party to 94253. We'd love to get you in those, but they are filling up quickly, okay? So hop in and do that today if you haven't already. Also, Serve Day is coming up pretty quick, and we would love to have you come and join us as we spread out all across the West Side, and we're serving great local nonprofit organizations to help them in their mission. We want to get outside the walls and be the hands and feet of Jesus all across the West Side. Simply text Serve Day to 94253. And there's also something special you'll see. If you go to that form, you'll see that there's a school supply list. We're partnering with Avon Schools to help them care for families that are in need. And so next Sunday, we want to highly encourage you, bring backpacks and school supplies, and we're going to take those to Avon Schools, and they actually sort those there at the Mary Lee Mayer food pantry that's right in Avon Middle School South. And so we're going to actually go and help them sort all of those, the ones we bring and others throughout the community that are bringing as well. So if you text the word SERVE DAY to 94253, you'll see the full list of school supplies. I want to encourage you, bring those next Sunday. We'll make sure that the school gets those, all right? One more quick note before we hop in. There's a series we are going to be launching on July 14th called Exponential. And we're looking at how, as a church, right now in this season where we are at, this isn't a moment. We're actually a part of a movement that God is doing something bigger than what we even see. And Pastor Kyle is going to talk about that here in just a moment. But we are part of something really special as a church family. And so on July 14th and for several weeks after that, in that series, I'm going to be sharing vision for where we are going. I'm also going to be sharing some big news and some big plans of what's going to be happening in Echo Church come this fall as well. So if you are in town, I would highly encourage you be there July 14th throughout the whole series. If you're traveling on vacation on Monday, hop on and get the podcast, hop on the website, because you don't want to miss one of these weeks. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a really special, special series, okay? Well, today is a special day. We have our good friend, Pastor Kyle Mills, in the house. And before I bring him up, let me give you a little bit of an introduction. If you've been here for a minute, you know he's been here a couple of times. In fact, I say, when someone comes the first time, they're my friend. When they come the second time, they're our friend. This is the third time. It's the only person we've ever had three times. So I think he's just on staff now. Like, we're just going to call him our teaching pastor. He's just a part of the community. You're hired. We'd love to have you. Just tell Elevate City you're gone. He's up at Elevate City Church up in Fort Wayne. They're about 7 years old. And I'm just telling you, God is doing a special work up there. I mean, it's incredible. Miracles that are taking place, salvations every single Sunday. Like, God is doing a special work there. And so we're honored to have him here today. He's also one of our overseers here at Echo Church. And so we have four overseers who guide and lead me and help me lead the church. And he's one of those. And he's just been a great pastor, a faithful friend. I'm so honored to have him here today. Would you guys please stand to your feet, put your hands together, and welcome up Kyle Mills. Come on. Love you, man.
Love you.
Come on, church. Can we give Jesus a better hand? He deserves it. Come on, let's give Jesus a better hand. Come on, everybody. Come on, he deserves it. Amen? Amen. All right, you can have a seat. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you got to sit next to me today. So glad for that. Man, we're so glad to be back with you guys today. And I feel at home. So glad to be. Thanks for the official word on being hired, Pastor Chad. So honored, and look forward to moving down here with you. And so, just kidding. So, but honored to serve and love Echo Church and love what God is doing, and love your pastors. Absolutely love Pastor Chad and Katie. Come on, they are the real deal. Can we give it up for our pastors? Come on, can we honor them? Amen. We love Pastor Chad and Katie, and man, their kids and all that God is doing, and so just honor them. And I want to say something too, because I have the microphone, and I'm one of his overseers, so I get to say this. But one of the things that somebody said this to me a while back in our church, and they said, you know, Pastor said, man, we think sometimes maybe you hear it all the time, just that we love you and encourage you. And actually, I said, man, I'd love to hear it more, you know. And they said, well, we just don't want you to get a big head. And I said, listen to me. I said, I've got overseers in my life that keep me humble. Trust me. I said, your job is to help keep me going. All right. And so let me just encourage you. Keep your pastors going. Keep loving them. Let them know, man, how much you mean to them. Honor. I'm just telling you, it goes a long way. And really, all of us, man, we need more of that in the race. There's no doubt about that. On the humble part, let me help take care of that, okay? And so we'll help keep him humble. But God's doing a great work in this church. And so excited for, man, I had time dinner last night with him and just hearing his heart continually of you guys and just, man, the days and months and even years ahead of what's happening here. Just some great things on the horizon. You want to be here for the exponential series, and I got a little peek on that and what's happening. So I'm really excited, though, for what God's doing and what's ahead of you. And so just want to send greetings to you from all of us in Fort Wayne. We pray for you guys constantly. I just want you to know that as one of the churches that we help to just oversee, we pray for you. We're with you in this, and we just don't say that, man. We really are. And so we're just in relationship, really covenant relationship with this church. And so we love you guys and love to see what God's doing. And so, but I want to get right into the message. I've got a few things on my heart today that I want to share with you. And honestly, this is pretty fresh, and I always enjoy when I go speak at churches. I want to speak really what's happening and what God's speaking to my heart, but then also what I feel for the church in which I'm going. But I really felt like, and Pastor Chad leaned over to me today and just said, man, this is just on point, so I was glad to hear that. But as you're in, you know, you came out of a great series, and you're getting ready to go into a real powerful one that's going to bring a lot of vision and just things that are happening, that I wanted to just share something with you to really challenge you and encourage you today. And so how many have ever been in a place where you feel like, man, I'm not really going forward, I'm not really going backward, I'm just not really going anywhere right now? And you kind of ask yourself, man, what am I doing wrong? Anybody ever felt that way? Was it just me? Okay, 8 of us. All right, praise God. All right, so no, I'm just kidding. I know most of us have at some point. And so, but nonetheless, I want to help just kind of answer some questions with that, because here's the deal. God does have a specific plan for your life. And I loved how Pastor Chad just opened up today as it relates to that song that was saying about the promise of God still stands. And you and I need to understand something about the heart of God, that there is a plan, a specific one, and there's a call for your life. The key is whether you and I are going to take the steps to lean into what God wants for us to do, or are we just going to kind of stay with where we're at? So I really want to, I've come to just challenge you a little bit today. Is that all right, everybody? All right? All right. Let's read a couple of verses, and we're just going to jump in. Psalm chapter 139, verse 16, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every moment, think about that, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think we're all probably in a place that we're in this chase of trying to continually figure out, okay, God, what is your will? And, you know, the safest place for you and I to be is always right smack in the middle of God's will. How many of you say, man, I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be ahead of it. Amen. I want to be right in the middle of what he's doing. And as God is moving in this church, trust me, you want to be right in the middle of what he's doing. You don't want, God's not called us to just be spectators. He's called us to be participators. Amen. And to take next steps. And so, you know, the truth is, I think for all of us, as we're kind of trying to navigate life, that it's easy sometimes to go to other sources before it is God. How many have ever done that? You've tried other sources, going to other things first before maybe prayer and going to God like we should. Yeah, we can get honest about it. It's okay. I've done it too. And man, we try to go to a lot of different means. You know, maybe it's turning on the TV and seeing, you know, the latest of what Dr. Phil has to say, or maybe the latest book or magazine that's out, or maybe you go to your favorite local Chinese restaurant and try to get a word from that fortune cookie. How many know what I'm talking about? Come on, somebody. Yeah, you laughing because you know, you've done it and tried to see what kind of encouraging word you've gotten before. And so we find ourselves in that place. But I had a pastor friend of mine do one of the old open the Bibles, close your eyes and point for a word kind of deal. And I've done that, but his story was a lot better than mine. And so I just told him, I said, one day, and I found the day, and it was this message that I said, I'm using it because I think it's good. And so true story, I want to give this to you, that a pastor friend of mine did this. And so he said, yeah, I just opened up the Bible one day because I was so desperate for a word, you know, just to hear that this is what happened. He said, so I opened it up, closed my eyes, and pointed first scripture. He said, I went to, it was in 1 Chronicles 19:4. It says, Hanan seized David's men, shaved their heads, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks. And then he said, well, I don't know, that's going to work, God. And he said, so I did it again and went to the New Testament, Luke 10:37, and it said, go and do likewise. All right, so here's my encouragement. Let's not go shave our heads or cut off the garments, especially that one at the middle of the buttocks, because look at the person next to you and say, ain't nobody want to see that, all right? And so Proverbs chapter 14, though, in verse 12, I want you to read this with me, if you would, please. And let's all read this together. And it says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And here's what I've just learned in my journey, that doing things my own way oftentimes gets me in a lot more trouble. And so I want to talk to you real for the next few minutes about just four common mistakes that I think that we make. And then I want to give you some solution to really helping us maybe take a shift in our life and helping to re-navigate us if we need to. The first thing is this, that I think this is really what can get us off track, is that we hear way too many voices. In other words, there's a lot of competing voices in our life. I think about, it almost feels like being at a stadium, with 100,000 plus people sometimes in life. It's just like all these voices, anybody ever been to a Notre Dame football game? Come on, that's our team up north there. Come on, bless you all. And if you are not a Notre Dame fan, I'm praying you get converted. Amen. All right. And so, but nonetheless, there's nothing like it. And man, it's loud. It's raucous. It's just crazy. But here's what I know too, but as we're in this thing called life and we've got all these competing voices, it becomes increasingly difficult to really find what it is that God is saying to us. And not only that, is hearing sometimes our own voice and getting caught up in what we think is right. And so sometimes we can even try to twist the will of God to fit into our situation, which you got to be real careful with that. And I've just kind of learned this too, that some of the greatest struggle that we have on this side of eternity is the tension between our will and God's will. And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says it this way, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. In other words, let me make this statement to us today, that a lot of people don't really want God's will. What they want is God to bless their will. And they just want God to bless what they're doing and God to be okay with what's happening within their life. But it just doesn't work that way. Here's the thing I know about God, is that God's ways are always higher than our ways. And his thoughts, the Bible says, is always higher than our thoughts. Listen, you and I better be thankful that God doesn't think like us. Because if God thought like you and I, how many know we'd all be in trouble today and none of us would be sitting here? All right, let's just be honest about it, all right? And so we have to continually realize we have a God that knows and sees the end from the beginning. Here's the other mistake that we make oftentimes, is we just don't ask God. We just don't ask him. Kind of going back to what I said a moment ago, it's almost like we just call on God in 911 type of moments and emergencies, and we just try to do life without him. But we'll only call on him if there's a situation that we really need his help. And can I just tell you that God doesn't want to just be your God when things are going bad, that he also wants to be your God when things are going good. I've never quite understand that, and I've heard people say that, and obviously preaching that, but I'm thinking, man, as good as God has been to me, I want him to be with me. I want to celebrate with him in the good moments too, and not just have to call on him when things are bad. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so I challenge us, because, I think about it this way with my wife. If I only talked to my wife when things were just going bad, no wonder I would have a jacked up marriage. And so, in other words, there's a massive disconnect, because her and I are not in communication and we're not talking. Therefore, man, I don't know her heart. I can only base what I'm hearing and seeing based on my assumption, because I'm not building any kind of relationship. But when I am building a relationship, and then when we are, having conversation and working through things together, man, it changes, man, everything in our relationship. But the same thing is with your relationship with God. Man, the more that you pursue him, and the more that you're consistent with him, let me say it this way, whatever you're consistent in, you grow in. And so your consistency in pursuing God and knowing his heart and his voice is going to allow you to have more clarity, direction, and wisdom to continue to go forward. Because here's what I know, all of us in this room today, there's something that we're facing. There's something in our life that we have a need for. And I'm just telling you, I've just learned enough to know that I can't handle all of me. You know, there's just no way. And I'm so thankful for a God who loves me in spite of my issues and the things that I get messed up in. I'm so thankful for a God who's constantly chasing after me and loves me. Amen, everybody? And so because we all got issues. Everybody say, we all got issues. I don't know if you've heard this. Sometimes it's good to be reminded. I've got issues. You got issues. We all got them. And if you don't believe you got them, that's your issue, all right? So just so we all realize that. All right, I don't know if your pastor's told you that one before, but there you go, all right? James 4, chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And so again, it's the continually seeing God as your source, not just for some things, but seeing God as your source for everything. I just believe either God is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And so he wants to be Lord of all in every element of our life. And I've had times where I've got stumped and, you know, I'll talk to maybe go to my wife first, or then I'll go to some friends and then realize, oh yeah, it's probably a good thing to pray. And so I just believe prayer has got to be our first choice, not a last resort. And we've got to learn to just have enough discipline within our life that we've got to run towards God first before anything else or anybody else. Amen, everybody. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Here's another one, the mistake that we make, and that is just we quit too early. We give up way too early. Have you ever felt like maybe you've heard God's voice and things all of a sudden just go in a totally different direction? Has anybody ever felt that way? I know that I have. And I remember being at our church 3 months old, but actually our third week of launching Elevate City in Fort Wayne. And man, through our great giftedness and preaching and anointing, we grew the church to 45 people from 200 and some people. Yeah, it was a great Sunday. I'm being very sarcastic right now. You can smile. All right. And so 45 people, everybody said 45. Yeah, don't make fun of my 45, but it was 45, and that was pretty much our entire dream team, all right? And so it was a very depressing day. And so I remember walking in for worship, and I just thought, God, if this is it, man, I really must have missed you. Like, there's only 40. Like, where's everybody at, Lord, you know? And I got so frustrated. And I remember when the first song began to play that day, man, I heard the Holy Spirit just say something to me. And he said, Kyle, you're going to have to commit to build. And I was like, oh, man, Lord. I was like hoping for one of those overnight processes, D. Like, I know a few guys, you know, I was hoping we could kind of work that out, you know. And but nonetheless, I heard God say it again. No, you're going to have to commit to build. It's going to be a process, and you're going to have to commit to building. And so I just knew that, man, this is going to be something that we're going to have to just dig our teeth into, roll up our sleeves, and let's get at it. And that's what we did. But in the reality of it, I just want you to know, because there's dark moments that we can go through. And even hearing that word that day, and I, you know, I told our church this too before, that, you know, I remember the devil just being, just whispering in my ear, just quit. Give up. Because just a couple weeks after that, somebody didn't like us, and they called a fire marshal on us, and the fire marshal said, hey, y'all got to get out of here. The school's not fit for you for an outside assembly. I don't know how all that works, but they just told us we got 4 weeks to find a new home. And I was freaking out. I was like, man, you know, how is this going to work? I've never pastored a homeless church before. Like, what's this going to look like? And so I began to go into everybody but God. And I was finding myself getting more and more overwhelmed, which is a real indicator that you need to seek God, oh, by the way, okay? And so if you're feeling that way, just know maybe it's because I've not really sought God like I need to. And so I was calling ARC, our church planting organization. They're saying, man, we've never seen anything like it, but we're praying for you. I'm like, man, I need more prayers right now. Like, what do I do? You know, and it's like, we don't know, but we hope you make it through, because you got to help other people that go through this. You know, I'm thinking, okay. And so long story short, you know, God ended up moving. We came to a Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., just myself. I was the only one on staff at that time, and all of our bivocational leaders. And I just said, man, we need to pray and fast. And forgive me for not saying that. I should probably have said that at the get-go, as your pastor is probably the thing I should be saying, but that's not what I did. And so, but we need to do it, you know. And so, anyways, God ended up moving. He ended up providing for us. But the easy thing would be to quit. And I just think we're in a culture, man, where we've got to be really careful that too many people are quitting way too early on things. And I just don't think it ought to be so. I love the fact, you know, my daughter's in softball right now. And actually, we just finished our season. Champions, by the way, in softball. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We started in last place. It was one of those underdog stories. Come on, somebody. I mean, started in last place, finished second in the regular season, went in the tournament, and won that bad boy. That's what I'm talking about. I'm competitive, and I like to win. Anybody like to win? Like, don't give me the blue ribbon for participation. You can hold on to your ribbon, all right? We need to know what winning and losing feels like. Amen. All right. Told another subject. Don't know how I got there, but I want to say we didn't quit. And we didn't give up too early. And you got to continue to persevere. And here's what I know about God, that God is always, listen to me, way more interested in your character than he is your comfort, because you're taking your character into heaven, not your career. And so the development today on this side of eternity is crucial, because if you're really praying and believing God to do more in your life, you've got to be able to be faithful and steward what he's put in your hand today. And so we pray big prayers, and you need to pray big prayers, but you also have to learn to stay faithful where you're at and trust with what God has placed in your hand to see, because he is the God not just of addition, he's the God of multiplication in your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm interested in seeing God do some multiplying in my life, in my family, in my marriage, come on, in my church, and echo in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? And so we've got to shift that way. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 10:36 that, here's a word that maybe a lot of people don't like, that you need to persevere. Everybody shout persevere. And that word persevere in the Greek means this. This is so awesome. It means to have a steadfastness in doing something, listen, despite its difficulty or its delay in achieving success. It's a decision that you make and I make, that even when times seem tough and they are not easy, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to look how I can get through this with God and persevere. And can I hop on my soapbox real quick, and I'll hop right off real quick. And let me just say this about the church in America, that we as the church have got to do a better job with this thing called perseverance. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Here's what I mean, is that there's too many church hoppers and shoppers like never before. And that's because when tension becomes in a relationship, instead of working it out, we just leave. And I'm just telling you, the last time I checked, you know, with my parents, how many know, y'all, you know, for our mamas and daddies, you know, we may not always see eye to eye, but they still mama and daddy. You know what I'm saying? And you still got your brothers. And how many know there's just some crazy family we have sometimes? And if you don't know who the crazy family is, yeah, it could be you, you know what I mean? So anyways, but here's what I'm saying. But even despite, you know, my family's messed upness sometimes, guess what? I still love them. Guess what? I'm still determined that even no matter where they're at, guess what? I don't disown them, but we're going to work through this in Jesus' name. And I just think, man, as the people of God, that we've got to do a better job of working out relationships instead of just running for the hills when things get tough in a relationship. Man, Pastor, you are preaching so good right now. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. And so here's what I just know. We got to persevere through some things. And whatever it is right now that you're facing, and I know it's not the popular thing, but I'm telling you, greater is he who's in you than the devil that's loose in this world today. God's greatness and who he is what's on the inside of you. And that's what manifests in Jesus' name in times of adversity, is the perseverance of God within you. And so again, you and I just have to remember, we have to remember as we do this, when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. And the thing is for us is many times we get caught up because we see in terms of earth where God sees in terms of the eternal. And so, and we need to thank him for that. And when he has an opportunity, man, he's going to take us through a teaching lesson in our life to help us to grow. Here's the other thing that I know. Last one is this, that we can make a mistake on, and that is that we rely way too much on logic. Yeah, way too much. Those who like the pros and cons list, you know, think, man, well, I can figure this out. Sometimes you better be careful with the old pros and cons list, because it can keep you from God. You know, if it does, it's not this and it's not that, you know, so we got to be careful. I'll never forget a couple guys that I knew when I was in ministry back in Columbus, Ohio. Never forget, it was one young man. He was deciding between going to college full time and going to work full time. And he said, Pastor, I've just come to the place. If it's sunny out tomorrow, I know I'm supposed to go to college. And I said, and if it's raining, he said, then I'm supposed to get a full time job. I thought, wow, I don't know that I'd hang my head on the weather, all right, to be my definition for God's will. Another person, true story, said, well, if I wake up on the right side of the bed, I know that I'm supposed to take this job instead of the other job. Somebody say, help some brothers, pray for them, right? And so, yeah, I tried to do that. But we get in this place, man, where if we're not careful, we just rely way too much on our logic. And, you know, Albert Einstein said it best. He said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And so at some point, you and I have got to make some decisions in our life, and some decisions that's going to shift us to going forward or to just stay where we're at and doing comfortable. But I've just made a decision in my life, man, that I don't want my legacy to be full of what could have been. I don't want my life to be a tale of, man, he had all the potential, but I want to be able to live my life. And whenever that day is that I go and see the Lord, that, man, he was a guy that, man, lived for God and made a difference in loving people. And if that's my testimony, praise God for that. Come on. And leaving a legacy. Ephesians 3 says this: God can do anything. Would you say that with me today, church? Come on. God can do anything. Come on, one more time, because you need to tell yourself, God can do anything. Good. You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around. I love that about our God. But by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Here's the deal that I know about logic. Logic will keep you from miracles. It'll keep you and I from miracles, because here's what we do with God. We box him in to being a God that's just reduced to the size of our brain. But I don't know about you, but I have been in seasons in my life where I need a God that's much bigger than my intellect, that things that I'm facing and people that I'm praying with, and even in our church today, that need miracles in their life. Guess what? They don't need my intellect. They need the power of God to move on their life. Come on, somebody. They need, if you know, we've got several people right now in our church that are battling cancer today. And we prayed for them last week, and just believing for God to do a turnaround, because we've seen God heal some people in our church of cancer. It's just been wild. But we're believing for God to continue to flush that out. How many know we serve a healing God who's still alive and well today? And then you got to believe it. Amen, church? Come on, somebody. You got to believe it. Regardless of what is happening around you. You know, I love something Smith Wigglesworth said, one of the generals of the faith. He said he made a decision in his life. That's why he was known for God using him to do great miracles, because he said, I will never be deterred by what I see. I will only be moved by what I believe in. And you've got to lean in, like Pastor Chad was saying earlier, you've got to lean into your relationship. That's where you drive the confidence and the strength and the faith to build and trust God for more. 1 Corinthians 2 says this: but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Listen, if you don't know God today, by the end of this service, you're going to have an opportunity to know him personally. You're going to have an invitation so that you can understand these truths today. Or maybe you've been far from God. I want you to know you're going to have an opportunity before you leave this place to connect with God in a personal way today. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach them? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And let me just kind of say this, that for some of us, maybe we are in a place where we're believing for God to do some incredible things. Sir, ma'am, maybe it's a business you're called to start. Maybe it's a ministry you're called to start. Maybe it's a small group you're called to lead. Wherever you may be at, there's always going to be, man, that element of, man, how's it all going to work out? And I've just believed this, any time that you and I have been called by God to do something great for him, it's always going to require the element of faith. Because if you can achieve it on your own, then it's not God, it's you. All right? But I just know as God calls us to greater things, as he's called Echo Church to do greater things on the west side of Indianapolis and to continue to believe God for more, guess what? It's going to take your faith to continue to arise and to connect with God and believe that, yes, he can. Amen? And so you have to see it that way. So here's what I want to say. When I was in a season some years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. And we're in a really interesting season right now as a church, as we are pursuing a facility. And it's taken a lot of faith, a lot of meetings. Lord have mercy. And thank God for the businessmen and women in our church that are smarter than me. All right. And so, but here's what I know. The Lord spoke this to me a while back, and I wanted to give this to you today. And it's just simply this. Don't ever let how keep you from pursuing what God has called you to do. You will always try to filter in your mind. This is where logic will jack you up. You can't get caught up in the hows. What you have to get caught up in is in the what and how God can do it and how God will do his part. When God speaks a thing, you've got to take him at his word and to know that what he said he will do, he will do. The promise still stands. Amen? So let me give us a couple things that I think will help us just to bring some solutions today. Number one is this, is you've got to eliminate distractions in your life. It even could be sin that you've allowed in your life, compromising things. It could be those voices. You got to eliminate that. Anything that's clouding your vision, or for me, it's like I wear glasses. So you got to get the, for us that wear glasses, it's frustrating. Life can be real frustrating sometimes because we're always having to clean the smudge off. All right. And so maybe there's some smudge you need to clean off. Hebrews 12 says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run. Here that word is again, with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We've got to shut down those voices. And how do you do that? I think one of the most powerful, simple ways that you can do it, and it's not just a January thing, but it's fasting and doing some intermittent fasting. And just maybe it's food, maybe it's media, that maybe it's during a lunch hour this week. When's the last time that you've gotten alone with God? And just maybe it's something you're seeking for, an answer that you need, or God to move on something. I'm just saying, give God that time. John 10 says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize that stranger's voice. And think about it this way. If somebody on this side of the room was to whisper somebody to somebody on this side of the room, how many know they're not going to hear that whisper? But the only way to hear a whisper is to do what? Draw close. You've got to get close. So we've got to make the decision, man, I'm going to get closer to God. Here's the second thing that we have to do is seeking God with all of our heart. We're going all in with him. I think we miss out on some of the greatest benefits that God has for us because we don't go all in with him. And I'm just challenging. Come on, let's be a church. Let's be a people that, come on, that we're relentless in our pursuit and say, man, we're going to go all in with God. He's not, guess what? He's not a 1-800 number that you can just call, all right? We must seek him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me when you find me, when you seek me with all your heart. And can I just tell you this? Christianity doesn't even work 99% of the time. It only works when you and I seek Jesus. Only when we seek after him. And so how do you do that? Guess what? Jesus doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be your relationship. He wants to be involved in your life, being in the Word, being in a place of prayer. And prayer doesn't just, guess what? It doesn't just change things, it changes you. And that's why prayer must be your first choice, not your last resort. It's critical that we get that. And so Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you, I love this, the desires of your heart. And so in other words, God's not going to just, he's not going to give you what you want. He's going to give you the want to do his perfect will for your life. That's his heart. And so when he speaks to you, this is what's going to happen, and this is what you and I must do, is number three, is trust him. Trust him. This can be very hard for us sometimes, but we've got to replace that worry with trust. Number three in this, Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And it's a challenge, though, for most of us, I think, because sometimes God's wisdom seems a little bit backwards to us because it doesn't always make sense. But that's why we can't process everything with our logic. We've got to be in a place of pursuit and trusting him through the process and know that he's making you, he's molding you, and he wears a different watch than you. And again, you and I need to be thankful that he does, that he sees in the realm of his time, not our time. Amen? And it's so important. And so, you know, for some of you, maybe it's a new ministry God's called you to. For some, maybe it's God's calling you to rise up in your workplace or in your job or in your neighborhood. Maybe for some, it's God's calling you to give more financially. You've just got to trust him with whatever God is asking you to do. And that's the question. What is God asking me to do? What is the question? What is an area of my life that I need to make some decisions at? And then here's the final thing I want to give you, and that's following his peace. And I love this one as the last point. I did this purposely because I think, I've had people ask me throughout the years, say, well, you must hear God's voice all the time. No, not all the time. No, I don't. But here's what I know. And here's what's important for you and I to understand. And this is what's critical for us, is God leads through a peace. I had somebody ask me this years ago, said, well, Pastor, how do I know what that is? And I said, the best way I can describe this to you is the only way that you'll know that peace is by a constant and consistent pursuit of God. By being in his presence, you will know that peace. Because the devil cannot give peace, all right? Only God can. And I love this verse in Philippians. It's in the NIV and then the Message. And it says this, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So notice, after you've went to prayer, petition and thanksgiving and let your requests be known. Then notice the shift that took place. God's peace is going to come. It's going to move beyond your intellect. And then out of the Message Bible, it says it this way. I love this. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Everybody say pray. Let petitions, look at this, and praises shape your worries into prayers. Boy, that's good. Letting God know your concerns before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And I just want to end by saying this, that many of us, I think, have some decisions that we need to make. Just this last week, I was at the gas station in Fort Wayne with my two boys. I have three kids, and two of my boys were with me. I was getting ready to go take them and get some haircuts. And I was at the gas station. And a woman came up to me who I didn't know and I didn't recognize. And she said, hey, she said, are you Kyle Mills, the pastor at Elevate City? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I am. And she said, do you have just a second? And I said, absolutely. I said, what's up? And she said, well, I just wanted to tell you. She said, first of all, introduce myself because we haven't had the opportunity to meet. I've been coming to your church for a few months now. And I said, oh, that's awesome. She said, yeah, I gave my heart to God. And man, God's been doing some great things in my life. And long story short, she said, man, I went to the church to find you, but you weren't there because our offices are separate from our church because we sublease where we're at currently. And I said, oh, man. She said, but I came to the gas station to buy a soda before I hit the road, and there you were. She was like, it was like, man, it was God, you know, it was meant to be. And I said, that's awesome. And she said, but I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to first of all say thank you to you and the church just for your support and your love for loving people, unchurched people like me. She said, but secondly, at the end of the message, at the end of that salvation moment, after I gave my heart to the Lord, the first thing you said out of your mouth was next steps. What do I do from here? She said, Pastor, I've been havoc of 20 plus years being an alcoholic, and it literally has destroyed my family and my life. And she said, I finally came to a place of decision that I gave my heart to Christ that day, but I'm tired of living this way. And she said, I made the decision that day. This week, I'm getting myself in rehab. And she said, so Pastor, that's what I did. I said, come on. And she said, but not only that, she said, I've been in rehab over the last 3 months. Today, I graduated. I said, go girl. And she said, yeah. She said, you know, I went and kissed, she said, my mom goodbye. My stuff was out of her house, packed my car. I'm on the road. I said, well, wow, where are you headed now? She said, well, Pastor, she said, I'm heading to my new support home because I made the decision. I'm not just happy with being free. Now I need to learn how to live free outside of this on a day-to-day, on a daily life. And I said, come on, girl. And she said, but I just want to give God the praise. And so right there at the gas station, everybody, we prayed right in front of everybody. And I didn't care and she didn't care. We're both crying together, and off she went. And her name is Jennifer. And can I just tell you today, though, Jennifer made a decision. And there's some of us in here that need to make some decisions with our life. It could be addiction, but it could be a calling in your life that you were born to embrace. And I want to challenge you today, Echo Church. Come on, let's rise up in the call and what he's placed on your life. Let's rise up in the fullness of what he's had. Don't let excuses, come on, get in the way of making a decision that could alter and change your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let me pray for you. Father, right now, I just thank you for the power of your presence. I thank you for quickening our hearts today and challenging us to make a decision. God, every one of us are in different places right now in our life. I know that. But God, what we all need in this place is more of you. More of you and less of us. So today we invite the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our life and into our situation. Church, I want to tell you that anytime, anywhere God is invited, he will always show up. For some of us, we need to invite God in our marriage. For some of us, we need to invite God with our kids. For some, it's at our job. For some, school. For some, it's just in our personal walk with God. So, Lord, I'm asking right now that you would move in such a powerful way. And, Lord, I just declare in the name of Jesus Christ for us to rise up and your call and what you have for us. I declare the greatest days of Echo Church are right in front of us. Lord, and I speak today over Pastor Chad and Katie. I speak over this church and this ministry. God, that you will continue to give this church and people great favor and blessing as they continue to go forward on this side of Indianapolis for the glory of God. And Lord, we need you and we welcome you and we desire more of you.
And as we're in a moment of prayer, I want us to give you an opportunity to respond. We just keep our eyes closed, heads bowed for just a moment. And I wonder today if your next step is to say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice more in my life. God, I want the distractions to go down. God, I want to give you more of my trust. Seek you with everything I've got. God, to lean in and understand what this peace is. To not walk away from your voice, God, but to lean in and hear it more fully. If that's you this morning, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but God spoke to your heart today, and you know that you got to lean in. You need to respond. You got to walk out of here today closer to him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand today? Just raise it up high for a moment. Anything else before we pray? Love to have the privilege of praying for you. If that's you, you can put your hand down, and you can just pray this in your own heart. You don't have to pray out loud. You just simply say, Lord, I'm listening to you. God, drown out the other voices. Would you just pray that? Pray that, God, just drown out the other voices. Drown out the noise. So in this moment, I can hear you. I can hear the grace that you give me. I can hear the kindness that you speak over me. I can hear the calling that you have over my life. I can hear the hope that you want to bring in. I can see how you want me to impact my home and my neighborhood and my work and my school. God, you've got more in me, through me, that you want to do. And would you just say to God in this moment, Lord, my answer is yes. I'm leaning in and I'm listening. As we pray, I'd love to pray for one more group of people. You're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you would like to be. You recognize that you need his grace. And here's what this means, to have a relationship with Jesus. You come to a place where you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. It take away all your faults and all your failures and all your past. And he died on the cross for you. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. But you also believe he rose up from the dead so that you could have a new life. That just as he rose up a new life, that you have a new life waiting for you. You could walk out of here today knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus. You are forgiven and made new. If that's you, again, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I am going to invite you to raise your hand. If that's you, you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus today, you simply raise your hand up high. I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you before we go. If that's you, would you just pray this simple prayer in your heart? It goes like this. Lord, thank you for your grace in my life. Say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross to forgive me. Just tell him that. Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm turning from my past and I'm turning to you. Would you also say, Lord, I believe you rose up from the dead. And I'm reaching for the new life that you have for me. I want to walk it out every single day from this day forward. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, would you help us this week to walk, listening, leaning in. And God, give us the courage to move as you speak. It's your son's name we pray.